What's going on, everybody? Welcome to the Producers Journal podcast. I'm your host, Derek, and this podcast is presented to you by Shelby Row Productions. For more information on my business, it's shelbyrowproductions.com. You can find this podcast on Instagram at the Producers Journal. Also, my business Instagram is at Shelby Row Productions LLC. This podcast is for generally the producers out there that are trying to follow along to my journey here as a podcast producer and agency owner. This is not an educational podcast. If you're looking to get a top three list on how to start a podcast or how to best gain a client, this is not the podcast for you. But what I do give you is real-time stories and updates on my experience as a producer and business owner in hopes that you might learn from my stories, wins, mistakes, and everything in between. So today, I'm going to fade this music out here. Today, I'm going to talk about walking the walk and talking the talk. And the reason I'm bringing this up is because I'm making some shifts in how I push out my content and how I'm going to try to market my business. And it's going to put me outside of my comfort zone. But so many times I've preached on this podcast and in reels that I've pushed out for this about challenging yourself, fighting through imposter syndrome, and growing. If you don't challenge yourself and fight through fears, you're never going to grow. And again, growth isn't necessarily revenue or a client base. It's also personal. And becoming stronger as a person as you fight through a fear. And if you find yourself complacent, then you're not growing and you're not challenging yourself. So I'm going to challenge myself with how and what I'm going to try to do content-wise. But first off, this is also exciting because for the first time, I'm recording from what is now my podcast station in my studio office. It's been a minute since I've updated everybody. I missed an episode here, which we'll talk about the schedule moving forward too. But things are really coming along. I finally have some paneling up on the wall. So aesthetically, it looks good. I don't really know what the panels are doing for me, but they're really nice looking too. It really looks cool. They're felt fabric panels, I would say about half inch thick, and there's six total, three like gray marble kind of look, and three black. So I have them up on the wall near my table, and I have them staggered height-wise. So one is the top is, I think, 7 feet, and the next one over, I dropped it down to 6.5 feet, next one back up, down, and alternating colors. So it looks sharp. Also been working hard at getting the audio stuff dialed in. And now that I'm there, still working on video aspect of this. That's still a work in progress. But there's no reason to not start using this station so I can learn more on operating the Rodecaster and Reaper. So for the tech heads out there, now I'm instead of recording through a Rodecaster into Audacity, I'm going through a Rodecaster straight into Reaper pre-fader. And we'll be using my buddy Alex, my editor on my team, to help me kind of mix this podcast. Now I'm officially going to be leaning on my team for this. It's still not going to be an edited podcast in the sense of scrubbing and taking out filler words, but I'm going to get a trained professional to mix and master this podcast now. So that's exciting. So this is a chance for me to just get the hang and the feel over here. So that way, when I finally have someone across from me, whether it be for the Real Hernando podcast or for some other stuff I want to do for my channel, I know what I'm doing. So exciting stuff for that. Schedule. In the world of podcasting, sometimes it's difficult to stay on schedule. And kind of contradicting myself a little bit, because I always preach this to clients on how to stay on schedule. Don't miss a week. Consistent publishing. Train your audience. Make sure they can trust that your content comes out consistently and frequently. If you are pushing an episode out a week every Tuesday, then don't miss a Tuesday. And I know, realistically, it's easier said than done. And I had a good run there, Monday, Thursday posting, and I missed this week for a number of different reasons. And it is what it is. I don't want to overthink this and take this too seriously. So that's just how it's going to be. 1 to 2 a week, and a little more flexibility on when this stuff goes out. Because I need to feel inspired, but also need something to talk about. And going twice a week, even though I'm busy and I got a lot of updates to give, it's a little lofty. So I guess the note and update on the schedule I push out will be probably closer to now 1 a week, and might vary on when it goes out. I'm breaking all the rules that I preach to my clients, but it is what it is. All right, so now let's go to the main thing I want to talk about, and that's walking the walk and talking the talk, and how I am making some shifts social media-wise and content-wise is putting me outside my comfort zone. You hear me preach on this podcast all the time that this is not an educational podcast. I'm not giving you top three lists and ways to do X, Y, and Z. This is a journal where I turn the microphone on and I just talk about current events. You already know this. But the reality of marketing my business always circles back to educational content. There is really no other way around it. I have been coached in the past through different coaches. I've met with different social media management companies just to kind of pick their ear and see what they could do. Not hiring anyone, but just get a consultation from them, a free consultation on how to, what they can do for the SRP Instagram page. It always circles back to educational content, building your authority, making it very clear who your target is. And when you get that target audience watching you, making it clear what you can do, what you do, and how you do it. And you all know I hate doing that content. I've tried it in the past. So I'm putting myself outside my comfort zone and forcing myself to start coming up with a new system and a new way to present educational content on my Shelby Rowe Productions Instagram. This podcast isn't changing, but I am going to shift again where I promote this podcast. The very beginning of this, I started an Instagram page specifically for the podcast, and on Instagram at The Producer's Journal. And in my journey of overthinking and constantly changing things, I realized, why am I putting it over there? That page has 30 followers. You know, why am I not putting it on my business Instagram, where I have several hundred followers? And then I took that as, well, this is my way of showing my authority in the podcast world and production world. To anyone that wants to go to my Instagram page, they'll see that, oh, he's a producer and a podcast host, and he talks about production. And then on there, I promote the Real Hernando stuff. But in reality, that is, I don't want to say garbage content, but in the world of social media marketing, it's garbage content. And I say it that way because at the end of the day, people engage with tight information, education, and if they're going to watch a reel, it needs to be one of those highly edited, trendy reels with music and all that good stuff, right? So that's just the way things engage. Throwing up an episode card with my headshot on it with a subtitle kind of explaining what the episode is about, and then a reel that's 59 seconds of me just rambling like I do in this podcast, only in short form. And if they finally make it to the podcast, then they get what you hear every week and what you're hearing right now. Not really a recipe for business growth if I'm trying to market Shelby Row Productions. So I'm going to revert back to promoting this podcast on its Instagram page at The Producer's Journal, episode cards, reels, and I might even add some unique content to that page and keep it loose and authentic and organic, where I might just throw a story up because I'm in real time wanting to show video of my studio, which is actually a good idea. I should do that now that I'm saying it, thinking about it out loud here, and really try to build that page that is true to what this podcast is. And then let's look to the Shelby Row Productions Instagram accounts. And this is where the comfort zone is challenged, is tested, and educational content. What am I going to do, right? What am I going to do for educational content? Because I've been through this before, and I kind of know the formulas a little bit, but it's not so much the science that bothers me, you know, how to schedule and plan. It's the art. What am I going to talk about? What am I going to teach? So that's the challenge. So my first step is carousels. Now, if anyone's not familiar with what a carousel is on Instagram, it is basically when you upload, let's say, 5 photos into an Instagram post, it creates a carousel. And you publish it out, and you've seen it before. You're thumbing through Instagram, and you see a picture of your friend, and then you see 3 little dots underneath the picture, and up in the right-hand corner, it will say 1 of 3 or 1 of 5 or whatever. And that just signals you, oh, there's more than one picture, and you just thumb the photo to the left, you swipe left, and it takes you to the next photo. And that's a carousel. But so the carousels are a great tool and widely used for educational content, for marketing a business, because in essence, you can turn it into a slideshow where you're presenting something. And me and my team did this in the past for the last phase of educational content, and they got good engagement. But there's a formula in how they look, the design of them, and how you're explaining the content. The look and design of it, way outside my wheelhouse, totally above my pay grade. And in order for this to work, it needs to look right. So I will be leaning on my graphic designer. His name is Mondo. He does not know this yet, and he doesn't listen to the podcast, so we can talk about him. But he's an amazing graphic designer, and also a great branding type mind, where I can give him the information that I want to go on this carousel, and he'll know how to manipulate it and tweak it and polish it, so it's not just visually appealing as far as brand colors and design, but comes across clearer, cleaner, more to the point. So he's going to be my go-to for that. But at the end of the day, I still need to sit down and think of what to talk about. So for example, here's a simple carousel. Let's say, and you know how much I love top three lists. I keep bitching about those things, but let's say I do a top three reasons you need to start a podcast. Okay, great. Well, that would probably be a five-slide carousel. First slide has my picture on there, and something there to grab someone's attention so they know exactly what I'm fixing to teach them or what kind of nugget of information I'm fixing to give to them. That's the key. We want to capture them. And when I say a picture of me, you've all seen it, and this is the gimmick, and this is part of the formula, and this is something I'm going to have to do again. But you'll see a static image of someone doing the pointing straight up, or they're looking to their side, and they're pointing to their left, and what they're pointing at is something the graphic designer added there, and it might be a bullet point like, monetize podcast. And then me as the guy on the slide is looking left, looking at that word and pointing to it and making silly faces. And yeah. So how we do that is you fire up a camera in front of your face and spend 10 minutes and take 50 photos of different poses, change shirts, try to make them look different, hand them to your designer so then he can just hand pick whatever silly position or pose that he needs. Right. So I'm going to have to do that. So each slide gets a picture too. Back to the carousel. So slide one brings engagement. It attracts the people in. It grabs them. The next three carousels or the next three slides are the 3 points of what I'm trying to push out there. And then the final slide will be call to action. And this is general, just total generalization. Basic. The last I heard to get an optimal performance for a carousel, it should be up to 10 slides. Go fuck yourself with that. That's what I go say. That's a bridge too far for me. 5 is, I think, a lofty number in of itself, but it's a good goal. 10 slides, that just takes forever to think of what to write. Now, some people just have it, and they can take a top three list and stretch it out over 10 slides. Well, maybe that's where Mondo comes in. Maybe I can format something that in my mind is going to be a 4-slide carousel, but Mondo does what he does and it might turn into a 6 or 7. Okay, great. Hey, that's on him, you know, and we'll come to terms on a rate on how to make this carousel. So my goal is to do 1 a week. Mondo again, doesn't know this. I'm actually meeting him next week for other things. And I'm going to bring this up. But what I will absolutely do is get 4 carousels done. And then start pushing them out on Instagram, my business Facebook page, and LinkedIn page. Because I want to be ahead. With those, I can be ahead. There's no reason for me to really miss a week on a carousel because I can plan ahead. This podcast is different. It's hard for me to record ahead of time and batch record, as they say, and sit down in one day and record 4 episodes that will get you a month's worth of content. I can't do that because I keep this as current as possible. So as I record this, I would love to publish it tomorrow, which I will. I can't publish really day of anymore because I'm going to use my editor, Alex. I need to give him at least a day to turn this thing around for me, which is fine. But what I can't do is sit here and record something that's going to publish in 3 weeks. That's just not cool. It wouldn't make sense. Hence, well, it's going to be harder for me to stay on schedule with this. Still no excuses, but I'm going to make them. But in terms of educational content, with some planning, you can optimize your time and effort so then you can spend a day and write out and prepare the content needed for a month. The key is Mondo. That's the key. I couldn't do this without him. I am colorblind, number one, and just don't have an eye for design. I just don't. I don't know how to match colors. It's heinous. Everything I own is black or gray, blue jeans. I'm a plain Jane. I guess the male version would be a plain Jack. I don't know. Very simple. And black. Everything's black. So I need these to look professional, and he's the guy for it. So that's the key. That's how I can sit down and, you know what, challenge myself and just try to think of things to talk about as a way to educate people on why they need a podcast, how to start one, the best way to interview a guest, editing, how to book a guest, different equipment that I'm using as just a way to show, you know, what I use, on and on and on. And just get over the fact that I hate doing that and fight through that, because ultimately I do need to put some effort in marketing my business. And what I hate most about social media is you put effort and time and resources into amazing content, and it always just feels like it just doesn't do shit for you. You know, the carousels will bring in more engagement. I might get a couple comments and 10 likes rather than 4 likes and no comments. Okay, great. The comments are great because you engage with them. That's the other part of the formula. If anyone leaves a comment on one of my educational posts, I must like their comment and respond. Keep the conversation flowing, because that really helps engagement and helps reach. And then that person that commented might have just followed the page. They commented on that. You throw them a comment back, and that might make them go back to my page and look at older stuff. But what it also does is gives me someone to check out. So if a producer or a podcaster comments on a post, what's his or her page look like? Is it someone that I want to engage with? So if so, let me follow them and let me find a post to comment on and give that love back. And that's how that works. That's ultimately how you grow an Instagram page. At the end of the day, it takes communication. It takes work. You have to put it out there. And some of these gold standard Instagrammers out there, one in particular, his name is Dan Thomas, who actually coaches people on how to grow their Instagram page. But he walks the walk and talks the talk. You go to his Instagram page, it looks amazing. It's super professional. It's on brand. It's consistent. He gets thousands of views. He's got 100,000 followers, tons of comments. You go to one of his posts, and let's say he has 50 comments. He responds to every one of them. That's key. New people come in and they want to comment, and they see that. They see, oh, wow. Dan like answers, he's not responding with huge essays or big time, you know, comments. It's a thank you, or you're right, or I hear you. You know, it's simple little responses back to these people, but it shows connection. So now someone's going to be like, ooh, I want to comment, because I know Dave is going to reach back to me. And if you have a question, Dan will answer it, right? So that's another part of the formula, which I need to just put on my big boy pants and just deal with it and start making my business Instagram page more about business and marketing, and start slow. The next phase, once we really figure out the system on how to push out some nice carousels on a consistent basis, that's, you know, a little easier for me on my end to just come up with content. Then I want to start doing the more gimmicky reels, because those work. They really do. You know, there's communication, like I said, that really helps grow an Instagram page. But there's a science to it, too. It's all about visual. And it's all about giving nuggets of information in the fastest way possible, because we have no attention span anymore. And a good, strong reel should be able to educate someone in 20 seconds. Easier said than done. And then there's also the editing of it, and how you add graphics as far as captioning. And, you know, there's, again, refer to Dan Thomas. Find him on Instagram right now, at Dan Thomas. And it's gold standard stuff. And you'll see his reels. They're amazing. They are. They're amazing. And that's the bar that I'll never reach, but I keep reaching for that bar, then it'll be better than what I put out now. So out of my comfort zone, and it is what it is. I'm going to keep fighting the fight and walking down that path. But this podcast is still going to be me talking in circles and still not having the ability to record a podcast episode that's under 20 minutes. So, this is at 27 minutes, so I'll keep it under 30. The least I can do, right? So, okay, call to action. It keeps getting longer and longer. Instagram for this podcast is at The Producer's Journal. For my business, ShelbyRowProductions.com, Instagram at ShelbyRowProductions LLC. Plus, you can find me on LinkedIn and Facebook under the same handles. Check out the YouTube channel. If you go to the bio in Instagram, the link tree, you'll find the channel in there. Also, The Producer's Journal Instagram will have a link tree in there as well. Check it all out. I forgot to mention Patreon. Click the Patreon link in the description. And I have one tier, and it's called Tip Jar. And once you go in there, you'll see how it works. But it's $1 a month if you want to help support me and this podcast. All right, that's it. Till next time, y'all. Have a great day. Thank you.